Well, good afternoon. How are you guys?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
Wonderful, thank you.
So we're doing this from different locations. Phil, are you joining us yet?
I am.
Okay, so Phil is on, and Jeanette, Dwayne, Lori, Sean are here. My wife will join us here in a moment, and possibly Jim Pritchard will dial in or walk in. I'm not sure. So how do you wish to proceed, sir?
Well, one of these days, what I'd like to do and give you a little preparation time, I'd like you to report in based on the five-star model, just as an exercise to keep you sharp on roles and responsibilities. But for today, I will take it an update from anybody. What's on your mind?
Well, I'd like to ask a question. In this week's video,
sure.
You had talked about the preparation agenda, and that the first thing was to always address the client need, but you stress it important to explain why every action item, how every action item fits into the totality of the plan, or what it's replacing or what it's doing. And I find that I have particularly bad luck when I go into the weeds on a comprehensive plan every time I'm trying to change something. So I was curious as to what your thoughts were on that.
Well, that's why we created the 24-month calendar so that we can batch process some of these activities. So if, in fact, you think that person has a need for a particular financial change other than, you know, asset allocation and the simple stuff, meaning they, let's say, for example, they may really need to hear about long-term care because they're right in that sweet spot of, you know, if they get sick or have to go in, they're going to be in trouble financially. You put that on the agenda, and then you talk about that one thing during that call. So that's the idea. You know, that would be the month for long-term care. If it's, you know, they've got credit card debt and you want to get them out of that into something else, then you'd manage that with the liability management month.
So, yeah, given the 24-month calendar that Phil has created and we all have copies of, that gives us a nice roadmap for existing relationships on our 12-4 review cycle. But when it comes to onboarding new clients, and we do the very comprehensive financial planning that we do, oftentimes it means that we're going to move, you know, $1 million or $2 or $3 million in a wholesale ACAT, and then we're going to do a lot with it. And that process can take 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. So how do we factor that into the process?
I would do it exactly as you said. I would take and do the things that are the things that are most urgent and are the easiest first, and then the rest of them would go on the agenda, and I'd put when you put something on the agenda, you have the ability to time it too. It's something that you need to do, but you don't need to do it this month. So, you know, that's how we populate the agenda is from things that you didn't get to in the financial plan, but you will get to over time. So in this case, you might, you know, their onboarding or their immediate change needs may be much more important than whatever the 24-month calendar has to offer. So your agenda for them might not include liability management. It might not include long-term care. It might not include something that the team was working on because this person had many more important needs. So you don't bite off more than you can chew. You do what you need to do, and then you do what the important but not urgent things over time, just like you do today, I'm sure.
What are your thoughts? This just popped in my head, but what are your thoughts on the location of these meetings? Oftentimes we're so accommodating that we do it in their homes, and that's okay for the first and second, but we certainly can't take 4 hours out of our day to do a 55-minute review.
No, this is all office. Everything has to be in the office. This is, you're a doctor, they come to your office. What CPA comes to your business?
No, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, so I mean, you're just, even your hairdresser doesn't come to you. You know, so what's the big deal? I mean, come on.
I'm going to step in here for a second, and I agree with you that most meetings should be in the office, but in some cases, we have clients who are not mobile. They, you know, for one reason or other, they may be advanced age. Our office is on the 7th floor, and the parking deck is 2 blocks away. You know, things like that.
Yeah, but remember my rule? The rule of common sense trumps all other rules.
It's a good rule. No, I like the thing you said about dividing, you know, for the monthly meetings, taking the client's needs and trying to address different ones each month. And I think it's a good reminder for all of us, but especially people that are, like, studying. We have some people here studying for their test, you know, on the part about making recommendations to clients. And even for Sean, one of the things we learned in the School of Hard Knocks when we were, and even we're still reminded because we still do it, is sometimes you get together with somebody and there's so many things you could be helping them with, and then you like part their hair with it, and they're so overwhelmed that they do nothing. So it's
good. Yeah, Pat, you and I have talked about that before.
Yes, right. So it's good that that is a good way to do it, especially if you know you've got a monthly call scheduled. You try to discern what thing is going to be like speak to them that they'll be most motivated to take care of first. And then do that, and then try to figure out what the next thing is, or even ask them maybe what the next thing is.
Yeah, I would prioritize them with them in the beginning. You want to do something, your task would be to prioritize, here are the 8 things that we need to get done. Why don't we talk about prioritization? What's the most important thing for you when you look at this list?
That's good.
And they go, you know, what's next? What's next? What's next? And then you can guide them when they're making a poor judgment.
Right.
And say, you know, I think that this one is actually more important than this one because of this. And they go, oh, you're right. Okay.
Right.
Now you've got your list. You've got your prioritization. Now you just knock it off,
right,
you know, one at a time. But the, no, I mean, think about Supernova, right? I've got a year worth of training in my head that I can give you based on my analysis of your team. And yet we meet on the first week. I ask for like 2 things from you, right? Min-max, right? We discuss min-max, segmentation, a little bit about organization, and really nothing, maybe centers of influence or niches or something in the first week. So I don't overwhelm you because there's tons to talk about. So we just dole it out over time just the way you will. Okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, part of my job is to, you know, get me organized, keep me organized. That's the biggest request I have. Then help me to grow and keep me growing. But along the way, my job is to help you be the most productive you can be. Right? Raise your productivity. So for every hour, I want to help you with balance in your life. So in order to do that, we have to be more productive with the hours that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So going out to see someone and taking half a day is a very expensive thing to do. And therefore, a good question, how do we manage that? You don't unless you absolutely have to. And in many cases, if it's, just use your judgment. You know, use your judgment on those. So that was a good example of, this doesn't seem right. Let me ask a question about it.
So please ask those questions, because your instincts are good, and you may think, you know, this is the way we've always done it, but it doesn't seem to be very efficient.
Right. So, I think Gwen's doing the best with the folders and the calls. Practically speaking, how is it going?
Well, you know, it holds you to your own accountability. Forces you to make a call that is not, it's one that's easy to push off. And so to that extent, it works exceedingly well. I think maybe I've got only maybe 30% adopted right now. But every time I touch a new person, we update the folder and make it part of the rotation. So that's going well. Jeanette's able to load into the Supernova software and push through our calendar, so that's working out well. The color coding system, we've got everything up to speed on that with all of our reds and greens and yellows. That's working well. So really, I think it's just a matter of implementing it, expanding it, and then staying true to the discipline of doing it. The calendar that Phil put out, I've already started to adopt with meetings as early as tomorrow, so that's at least a way to explain the process as people come to visit with us and get them to understand what it is they're going to be experiencing as we move forward. A question on the mastermind. I was in a situation the other day with a husband and wife family owner, a very complex situation. The business valuation requires their CPA. They have some marital strife and some ownership issues that require some estate and business law. And then, of course, they have the planning issue. But those are three people, the CPA, the attorney, and me. We came together on that specific client account. That's not what you're calling a mastermind. A mastermind is three amigos who get together, and we do all this all the time together. Is that right?
Yeah, but you just described a perfect mastermind group in formation. But you're not meeting to deal with one issue. You're meeting to build your relationship so that you have multiple meetings like this.
So then you can have multiple mastermind groups of CPAs and attorneys who have perhaps different client relationships or different areas of expertise or focus.
That's correct. But what you've described is a niche mastermind group. So that niche is focused around closely held private corporations that are having a liquidity event. So we need five people in our mastermind group in order to serve that client as best can be served. We're going to be the best in the world at doing that. So for this particular niche, this is my mastermind group. This is the best of the best. Okay, so that might be a commercial realtor to sell the business broker, CPA, attorney, and maybe a psychologist that helps with going through the transition of what it's like to not be a business owner anymore.
What are your thoughts on a situation where mom and dad client don't see eye to eye on the strategy, or mom's priorities are different than dad's, and mom doesn't share everything with dad, and makes our job very, very difficult?
I think that's an important conversation to have with them. You know, because one person can say, you know, you did great, and the other person can say, I want to change FAs.
So really, the sooner I can get both on board, the better.
Yeah.
Really important. Yeah, that's a crisis.
It is.
We call hey,
that,
Dwayne?
You know, I call
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, Dwayne?
Yes, Phil.
For joint issues, obviously, we've got to get them both on the same page. There may be separate issues. I'm thinking, for example, of a client who may have, Mr. has, you know, his retirement accounts, and he's got kids from a prior marriage, and Mrs. has her business and, you know, other things that really, and then they've got their, so it's his, hers, and theirs. And it may be that we have to say, let's talk about his, let's talk about hers, and let's get you two people talking about the same page for the theirs.
Yeah, but it pre-assumes or presumes that both are equally as engaged in the overall process. And in this particular case, mom is very engaged and responsible, and dad is somewhat a witness to his own life. And but he controls a lot of the assets, so it's a really unique battle.
May not be a prospect.
Is he a prospect, or is this a client?
This is a client, and there's more business to be done, but she can't be doing it behind his back because he's got to approve or disapprove, and then he doesn't know what's going on, and then he says something dumb because he doesn't know. It's not that he's dumb. He just doesn't know. So I think the sooner these people, like as soon as she realizes that maybe she has trouble talking to him, but maybe one of us could talk to him, and then she could do her part at home to help him, you know, like what he's
doing. I think what this touches upon is part of the business of what we do every day that is really, really kind of difficult, you know, where mom and dad are having some friction and they're business partners and there's friction and he knows this and she doesn't know that and there's secrets and you kind of see it all and you're supposed to orchestrate it with the CPA and the lawyers to get it all done. And, you know, you're pushing on a string some days. I see the global answer. I see the solution. But having the two of them get together on the same page at the same time is already proving very difficult. I'm only in it for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you may want to have a 12-4-2 with her every month and a 12-4-2 with him every other month.
I mean, with her every month and the two of them every other month or him alone?
Him alone.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think she just needs to surrender that thing where she just thinks he messes things up and so she's got to do it all by herself. And that
right.
might be true, but if he knows nothing, he's definitely going to mess things up because he knows nothing.
Yeah, she's running block and tackle, and, you know, we're talking about, you know, big-dollar events, and she tells me she can manage them in the end, but I this guy's going to be ambushed by some of it, and that's
right.
not going to work.
So, I think that, let's say that the every month is a joint call, but he never shows up, right? But it's open
right.
to him. Every other month is his private tutoring call.
Right, that's good idea. Oh, and the thing is, somebody else may be better able to talk about these important things without that baggage. I'm sure they have a lot of baggage if another person is talking to the guy. He may be more reasonable with a professional. So I think that's a...
Yeah. It could be. He's somewhat dismissive of his wife, and maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe it's a gender thing. I don't have any idea. I haven't figured it out.
Yeah.
It may be a pure ego thing. He wants his own call.
Right. Okay.
It could be, and she's completely misreading what his, you know, interests are.
Right.
It could be.
So I like this, at least until this crisis is over.
Right.
Okay?
Good idea.
So do a 12-4-2 every month for the joint ones, and then do every other month with him alone. Unless you think it should be done every month with him until the crisis is over.
Right.
Maybe it's every month until the crisis is over.
But what you're
yeah.
suggesting is, it's separate calls, so she may be 10 o'clock on Tuesday and he may be 11 o'clock on Thursday.
Correct. It's just a crisis situation. Get it?
Yeah.
Deal with it. Don't ignore it. You threw up another yellow light, okay? You got to deal with this. And if you deal with it properly, both of them will like you very much. If you don't, somebody's going to sabotage you guys.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. On the insurance front, I'm trying to do something in a global way, and the husband's sabotaging it because he doesn't know we've got a global strategy. He sees only a local solution. So he's using his own guy, and mom and dad are battling each other on, you know, which advocate they're going to use. It's I sure can find them. Anyway, could you talk a little bit about the Covey model, please?
Yeah, the Covey model is really important because it has to do with important but not urgent items. And most of us don't ever get to the important but not urgent because we're so busy dealing with the important urgent. So every day is a crisis. And what we're teaching, I like to think of it as the progression of a medical practice. With the medical practice, the first medical practice being an ER with, you know, nothing but chaos, but a very competent team, but there's no deferred. Everything is urgent and important. Okay, and you go from that to a family practice where you get an appointment, they do a physical, they take care of you. There's some urgent, but it's mostly planned, but there's 2,000 patients, so you have to wait in the waiting room for an hour before your appointment. And then we go to a concierge physician who has a practice that is limited to 100 or 200 patients. They charge you $5,000 or $10,000. You don't have to wait. They will call you back at any time. They're on call. They know you. You get a fabulous physical, and they'll personally go with you if you have a crisis, you know, to the hospital, or and they check in on you and so forth. So that's where you guys are, okay? You're creating a concierge practice with things where you're customizing and personalizing the process for each client so they don't have to wait. They know when their call is going to be, and you've got rapid response to their problems, 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. So that's one way to use the Covey model in terms of how you prioritize things, how you see your practice. The other is just to use it as a tool to eliminate the not important, not urgent things. So my guess is you guys aren't sitting there playing video games on your computer, but the idea is to be as productive as you can every day, all day, you know, by having proper amount of, you know, sleep, exercise, diet, giving yourself breaks, but really try and raise your productivity of your time there so that, you know, you're dealing with, you have time to deal with the important, not urgent. So what's important, not urgent? Supernova 1242, setting up the system, the process, taking this course, prospecting. Those are important but not urgent until, you know, there's a crisis and you need money, right? Then it's urgent and important. But so we want to avoid the urgent, important, and keep everything as much as we can in the area of important but not urgent, getting to training and other things that really change the nature of our practice.
I think that as much by accident as by design, that our group is uniquely pre-structured to follow this Covey model, and it's even more so now that Lori and Jeanette are working together and sharing the burden of some of those, you know, more non-important activity type things that do steal your time away but have to get done at some point. And as Sean starts to meld into the practice in a more formal way, then we're really very focused on our ability to do the long-term care, the financial plans, and really demonstrating the vision of the group. And you know, Patty and I have always been from a planning perspective, and Phil's always been an outstanding communicator with clients. So, you know, we're kind of an ideal supernova group. We have this in place now. We don't get client calls looking to do transactional business. There's not a whole lot of panic going on in our book of business. So it does give us the luxury, if you will, of doing some of those non-urgent important things while we know that Lori and Jeanette are helping us to, in the back way, in the back office, to make sure we're not getting blindsided by something. And, you know, Sean can help us as we are continuing to segment to him to make sure that that aspect of the business remains intact. So for me, it seems as though we've got a pretty good start. We have an issue of scalability, of getting it now throughout the practice and really getting it up on plane. But I think over the last 2 months, since the end of the year, we've really done a very good job at adopting not only the ideology of Supernova, but the practice of it. And sometimes it's just mechanically difficult to get it all done. You know, my wife's files are 400 files. That's a lot to just physically convert and clean up and do all those types of things. But we certainly understand the process. And I can tell you it's already reaping benefits from having the day be very productive, where what our activities are really client-focused and net asset generating, and I think really reflect well on that concierge-type business you just talked about.
Awesome. All right, so I'll challenge you, though, okay? Is your marketing initiative as ritualized?
I think it is. My wife does that aspect of it and does it very, very well. We typically run between, you know, 12 and 14 client events at various restaurants and here at the office, all sorts of ways to have education, no selling whatsoever. And we have really nice participation. We've grown our book of business from it. And the clients really are, they tend to reflect us. So they're all very lovely people and like each other. So, you know, that's growing well.
Speak for yourself, Dwayne.
What did I say?
Said you're a very lovely person.
Oh.
You took the words right out of my mouth. And I was like, wait a minute.
Very well.
A little joke there.
But I think we're trying, the marketing, I think, is working reasonably well. Our website looks pretty sharp. We've got a client placemat that we're, you know, refining to really talk about what our process is and what the value adds are, our mission statement, how we view the financial planning process. It's just a one-page thing. That's starting to take some good shape. So, yeah, I think from a packaging concept, we're starting to package ourselves in a pretty clean way.
That's wonderful. I mean, that's the part. Usually everybody has 50% of that. You know, not initially, but over time, they'll be very proud of the fact that they built a process around customer service. And then I say, okay, now what's our process around customer acquisition? And they don't have the same rituals. And that's 50% of Supernova. Supernova is a growth tool. You know, on the cover of my book, Supernova is a growth tool. It's a growth process. And you've got to ritualize it. You can't expect to just give good service and have assets come in. You get some, but you're not going to get the leverage. I mean, we segment and shrink our practice in order to have time, and that time should be devoted to growing. Okay?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the part. So one of the things that that I'd like to reflect on for a minute, because of your commitment to the 24-month calendar and your commitment to your seminars and educational initiatives, consider adding a 24-month marketing calendar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever done that?
Not that far out, but that's a good idea in general.
Yeah, Patty goes out pretty far because we share this with our wholesalers, and so that requires some real planning, and the internal compliance that Lori does for us is a little bit complex. But you're out 6 months, a year?
No, I usually do spring, and then I do fall. So I'm out into the spring right now, and there's one wholesaler that we
you know, we always do something in September when his soccer schedule comes out and we know when he's available, and so we kind of have that there. So going out a little further is fine. That is something we could work on. And
we,
actually, I have one. You gave me another idea, though. There's something that we're all not loving right now, and that is that, you know, in an effort to increase net assets under management, our complex is asking us to, you know, take time and put into a new another spreadsheet what we think is cooking and when we think it's going to happen. And so it's like another clerical task to do that's taking time away from client facing, and it's really frustrating, but we want to be respectful to these folks that are asking for it. So I was thinking that maybe what we could get out of that, because I'm always trying to see the good thing, is if we make that list for this complex of what it is that we think is cooking, then if we give those people the same kind of attention, you know, they don't fall through the cracks.
Right.
My wife,
okay,
but
so
my
bingo.
Wife is so kind. See, so we're supposed to make a list of who's out there and what money we're going to bring in, which is exactly the opposite of what you just described. The whole supernova process is this natural organic thing that is just a ritual that by the very nature of doing it and doing it well produces these types of results. So it's quite shocking to me that honestly the guy who's paying 75% of this program is the guy who's asking for it.
Right. Well,
no, but time out. You know, what we don't monitor, we can't manage. Okay? So one of the problems that we have is that when we're successful, we get introductions. So where do the introductions go? How do we monitor them? And how do we keep them from falling through the cracks, just like our clients don't fall through the cracks? So it's okay. We have, if you'd like it, and it's about now when, you know, some people want it more urgently, we have a pipeline tool that we use to monitor the pipeline, because you'll do better if you monitor the pipeline. Whatever you monitor, you do better. Okay, that's just the reality. That's why they're asking for it.
No, I understand that, but we have green prospect files that reflect what that pipeline is. And there is a natural process to develop those relationships and an unnatural process to say on March 30th, he's going to transfer $2.2 million. It just doesn't work that way.
No, but here's the thing. You come up with an estimate. The game of life is all estimates, right? I mean, you're just doing a wild guess in terms of, you know, people would say, you know, I'd say, you know, how much business are you going to do next year? And they'd say, well, tell me what the market's going to do and so forth. You know, we kind of know what we're doing and how much we're going to bring in assets and how much revenues we're going to do and so forth. But if we actually focus on it and try and develop centers of influence and mastermind groups and meet with them on a monthly basis, we're going to get more than we would have gotten had we done it passively. So
understood.
What do we do with those names, right? They're suspects until they become prospects. So we have to keep them somewhere. Once they become a prospect, we can create a folder for them and put them in our scheduler, and then they pop up and we call them monthly. Right?
And I completely get that, but what we're being asked to do really falls into the urgent, non-important, make a report category, because it really doesn't reflect anything significant or meaningful.
Excuse me, Dwayne. Let me suggest a way to handle this that may work. Remember, we'll have 5, 10, 20 prospects, you know, Smith, Jones, and McGillicuddy. And we can put down, every one of them would be $1 million because that's our minimum, okay? And then we say, sometime in the next 6 months, we should see some of that result. But we don't know which one will be first, second, or third. We just know that sometime in the next 6 months, one of those three is probably going to pop.
I mean, I'm definitely going to find a way to work it in just because I think it's just to be respectful. So I think I'm going to use the spreadsheet to put all of my things that are pending that right now I'm writing in a little notebook. And then since he wants an update each month, then, and that kind of goes along with the supernova thing with each month, I guess that's how I'm going to use it.
So then the list should reflect our green folders and whatever our prospects are.
Right, exactly.
Okay, fair enough.
And actually, once we do it once, it should be a lot easier because then we're just taking them off. And, yeah.
Pat, if you want our pipeline tool, which is basically an Excel spreadsheet with categories and things, happy to send that to you, okay?
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be great.
Okay, and then you could...
acceptable because it kind of goes with what he's trying to do.
Well, it'll
hey,
be definitely acceptable to your boss.
Yeah. Pat, tomorrow, can we get together for 2 or 3 minutes so you can show me how that spreadsheet that Tim wants works? I can't even figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great.
We'll work on that. Good.
All right, it's 2:35. Let's schedule. Are we again for next Monday or 2 Mondays? Now we're in the 2 week schedule, right?
No,
I think it's 2 Mondays. Let me see.
No, I think it's next Monday and then 2 Mondays off.
Okay.
17th
okay.
And 24th, we're off.
Terrific.
All right. Any closing assignments for us for next week?
No, I mean that. You're doing really well. I appreciate it. I'd say build that 24-month marketing calendar, and I won't. I'll give you the same homework that Tim gave you. Build your pipeline tool.
Fair enough. We'll take a look for it.
Quick thought right. On that 24-month marketing calendar. There's no reason that can't be fairly similar to the 24-month calendar.
Of course.
You know, you've got a month where you're talking about RMDs, that's you'll market RMDs. Or you're,
right, there
you've got
go.
A month where you're talking about taxes, you'll market taxes.
Right.
Right. But we're talking about seminars and client events and things like that that might be.
Oh, yeah, but you can say, oh, we have, we're going to be talking about RMDs in October. Let's do a seminar and client event on RMDs.
Right. They can work together. They can dovetail. So we'll work on that.
Yeah. I think
okay.
That's beautiful. Yeah,
all right.
Beautiful.
1 week from today.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
okay,
you.
Nice job. Congratulations.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you very much.